You made me see. So I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I would like the children. I think you know who you are, your children. Come on up here. Come on up here and sit in the front row here. Yeah. How'd you arrange that? Okay. Here's what we're going to do, guys. First of all, I'm going to actually attempt to sit down. That's not the trick. The trick is getting back up. Okay, all right. So, I have a question for you guys. Have you ever seen the wind? No, you can't see it. You've seen the results of the wind, right? What the wind does. Yes, that's a very good way to prove. Yes. So a little while ago, I could see out there. Oh, I can see the rain.
Woohoo!
It is coming down. I think we have enough wood to build an ark if we need to. So that's okay. All right. So, you've never seen the wind, but you see what the wind can do.
Catch him.
So, this morning's gospel reading, Deacon Francis.
Wait.
Yeah. Well, hang on, sit, because this is. Zoom people. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, I apologize to people because you do need to hear the story. We just asked if they could see the wind, and they admitted they could not see the wind. So, did you hear this story? And the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. So, what do you think that means? You think it's coming through the room? Not a mighty. You think there was a really almost blow you down wind? Yeah. Absolutely. What happens is we know that the Holy Spirit, you can't see the Holy Spirit, can you? I can't see the Holy Spirit. I've never been able to see the Holy Spirit. Well, because he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But you know what's really neat? The Holy Spirit can live inside us. He lives inside us, and sometimes he he says, Ivan, don't do that, because that wouldn't be a good thing. He says, Esther, I'm so proud of you become what you're becoming. And Ethan, and you're growing every day. You've got a lot of growing to do if you're going to be tall as your head. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there are different parts of us that grow. We And so the roof faster and some of them. But we all know what the Holy Spirit wants to do. This is the most important thing. The Holy Spirit wants you to grow in your knowledge of God. That you learn more all the time. And that means paying attention to things when we talk about God. So, I'm going to attempt to get up. And all the congregation is watching in wonder. Yes, I'm going to get up, and then you guys are going to go back to your seats. Started out was on Pentecost. Now, some of you have probably been thinking, how could it be Pentecost already? Wasn't it just Christmas? It seems like it, but I wonder if some of the disciples were thinking that too. Now, I want you to remember this. And sooner or later, folks, we're going to let the children start taking notes so they can handle the answers at four. Pentecost is a Jewish feast. You see, we think of Pentecost as the day the Holy Spirit came, and that's true. But you know what? The Jews were in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. It's one of the three festivals that the Jews were required to come to Jerusalem for. And so they came for Pentecost. Now, the Greek word is Pentecostos. And that means 50th. So why Pentecost is 50th? Well, because it's 50 days from Now you said, Steve, that this was not a Christian holiday to begin with. It was a Jewish one. It also happens to be 50 days from Passover. So, you had a lot of people there, and the Jews were required to come. The week before, the disciples, actually 9 days to be specific, the 9 days before, the apostles and disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven, into the clouds, and disappear. That's where heaven is, right? Up in the clouds? I know, it's actually beyond the clouds. It's up higher. It's in the heavens, beyond the clouds, beyond the stars. It's up, beyond the clouds, above the limited sky. And so I want you to listen to a conversation that I think may have occurred between some of the disciples that morning. Heaven is in the heavens. It's up. It's beyond the clouds, above the limited sky. It must be a long way. Yeah. He said he would send an advocate, a comforter for us. He must have had to arrive in heaven before he could send the Spirit, and it is a long journey for both of them to travel, one going up, one coming down. No. Remember, he's God, and the Spirit is God, so they can do it anytime they want, as how often they want. It's just like a blink of an eye, they're here. No, more likely he's waiting for the end of the festival, so all of those who are coming won't be stirred up again. You know, things have been quiet lately, and I kind of like it. How many are coming this year? Probably about 50,000. By the way, that is probably the number that came to recent calculations. They seem to have started earlier. Do you think we're still safe in Joseph's home? We are so very blessed to have this compound. They can accommodate about 120 people, which is how many are here, even in the upper room. Well, okay, yeah, but it is a little crowded up there. But it does work. Don't you just love talking about the things Jesus taught us during the 40 days before he left? I mean, before he ascended. Yesterday's time of teaching and prayer was so especially beautiful. I love it when Peter teaches, but he's a little too animated for me. But yesterday, John spoke, and he spoke so seamlessly about reminding us of what Jesus said to us when Philip asked for the Lord to show us the Father. I kind of felt bad for Philip. He probably shouldn't have said that. But it seemed to be okay. Because Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You know, when I heard that from Jesus, I was honestly confused. I just don't think I could do all those things that Jesus did. I just don't think I could do it. But maybe I'll try, and with his help, it might happen. Yeah. You know, I heard out of the window the other day, these people walking. I must have heard 10 different languages. Oh, all these people coming to Jerusalem. Wait, they. It's just a real hassle. I can't understand a word they're speaking. Oh, if we could somehow talk to them and they could just understand. I guess that's wishful thinking. Well, we need to get breakfast ready. We're supposed to be in the upper room early. I wonder who's teaching. Little did these disciples, having this conversation, know that the Holy Spirit was going to interrupt the entire plan.
Hallelujah.
See, you've already heard this morning's New Testament reading, and that covered most of the sermon. By the way, it was bold, and it was a synopsis of the gospel. A number of things are at play after he finished the main part that he's been taught, but I want to point out three of them. So let's dig in. First, Peter states boldly and definitely, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Now, Peter doesn't say, you've all heard the rumors that Jesus was raised from the dead. He states a fact. God raised Jesus. We are witnesses. No ifs and ands. No buts.
or probably. Just straight to the point. Bring the scripture. Did you know that it's a requirement that two or more witnesses are required to convict someone of a crime against the law established by God, and the laws further established by the elders that are not in opposition to scripture? Now, we know today from all the studies that have been done that actually a single witness to a crime can't be relied upon. The courts no longer say, it's not a Perry Mason thing, where they say, I saw him. Are you sure you saw him? I'm absolutely certain I saw him. Guilty. It doesn't work that way. Because we have learned over the years that a single eyewitness is not. So what happens? Well, that can be looked at and the whole picture can be put together. So that the jury understands that yes, this is the one. Because he saw it, and she saw it, and they were in different places. And yeah, they saw some different things, but they both saw the same person. Two or more witnesses, even in scripture, are required to convict someone. Now, what's interesting is those who were hearing these Galileans speak, and they're hearing it in their own language. That's cool. What do you think? They had a universal translator going on there? Well, yeah, they did. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allowed them to hear as he preached in their own language. That's why I put in that little dialogue at the beginning. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could all hear it? Because that is what we say. Think about the missionaries. By the way, just as a side note and a side road here, the gift of tongues. Some people ask me about that. I believe in the gift of tongues. Let me tell you what the gift of tongues is. The gift of tongues is something given to somebody who can learn another language like that. There are those people. Many of them go to the mission field. Janet and I have a dear friend of ours and his wife. They decided they were going to become missionaries to the Middle East. Now that's a hard one. But even harder is they had to learn Arabic. Not a fun language to learn. Curtin Marshall learned it in 9 weeks. That's the gift of tongues. That's the gift of tongues. Somebody who is going to go to Denmark and be a missionary. And it's my understanding that Danish is one of the more difficult languages to learn. But they learn it quickly. That's the gift of tongues. So those hearing within their own language. That was the assertion of many witnesses was struck home. These are Jews. These are Jews who know scripture, otherwise they wouldn't have come to the cross. All the way to Jerusalem. So they understood. No wonder they gave them the word. So there's a principle here that I would like you to remember. When sharing the gospel, all you have to do is be factual. All you have to do is be factual about it. Make them think.
Come on, Noah.
Then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. That's what it's good at. That's what it's good at. Second, not only did Peter boldly and definitively state God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, he also boldly said, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus who crucified Christ. He's using the word Christ, which is in the Greek, which is the same word as Messiah. This is the one that Israel has been waiting for. He did not claim to be the Messiah himself. That was not what he did. Now, there were many who came before him who said, oh, hey there, I'm the Messiah. You didn't even want to pay attention to me because I've come here to perform God's wishes. I'm the Messiah, so just follow me. We're going to knock the Romans right out of Jerusalem.
However,
usually he ended up in a very bad situation. So, they were looking for a Messiah. They were watching. But the pretenders who wanted to foment revolution and drive out the Romans, they were part of understanding the Messiah. The self-proclaimed Messiahs. Jesus was pretty disgusted about it. And I'll tell you why. Because he didn't care one little bit about Rome. He just didn't care. It didn't matter. You see, he was disgusted with the Pharisees, but he was disgusted because they knew it didn't matter, and they couldn't figure it out. The Sadducees, well, he was disgusted with them because they were collaborators with Rome. They had a good thing going, and they didn't want to mess things up. They were wealthy. They were wealthy because of the Romans. They ran the temple because of the Romans. That was part of their income. They were the only ones who could become chief priests. You see, the Romans did run pretty much everything. And the Sadducees realized that, so they kowtowed to the Romans. We need to realize the only one we owe allegiance to is God. Yahweh, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God did not make Jesus. He made him Lord and Christ. Jesus is God. But before you freak out, this is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day, by the way, is on Wednesday, even though they made a law and said it's on Wednesday. Memorial Day is on Wednesday. And we pledge allegiance to the flag. But that's because of our citizenship in America. Our citizenship in heaven is more important than anything on this earth. Now, don't get me wrong. I am so glad I was born in America. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I am so glad that our friends have made it here to America because it is a wonderful place to live. There's all sorts of freedom. Maybe a little too much, but there is freedom. Our allegiance, though, is to God in Christ. Third, not only did Peter boldly and definitively state, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to the fact. Remember, there's 120 people up there. That's a lot of witnesses.
Mommy.
And not only did Peter also boldly state, let all Israel be assured of this, God made this Jesus who crucified both Lord and Christ. He answered the question that was in everybody's mind. What shall we do? It is conviction of the heart that brings such a question. When you're trying to figure out, and that still small voice that I told the kids about, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, that person needs help out to the car. That's conviction of the heart. Holy Spirit is saying, you need help. When someone is struggling for whatever reason, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to listen. Don't say anything, but just go and sit next to them. That's all you have to do. Just go and sit next to them. And you know the Holy Spirit gives great advice. Sometimes we want to talk to them. We want to give them a Bible verse. No. I will tell you right now, because of years of sitting beside people, when I would spurt out something, and the Holy Spirit kept saying, one day, Steve, you're going to get it. Job's friends were at their best the first 7 days because they just sat there. They just sat there. They didn't have any advice. They knew this was a man who had lost his entire family. This was a man who had been struck with illnesses beyond what anybody could believe. And they just came to be. Next time you have a friend that's really struggling, just go
and
sit.
And okay.
It's a conviction of heart. Now, there's another issue that many of us struggle with. And it's that we're brokenhearted over loved ones who have not yet come to Christ. How do we get them there? We don't. We don't. You see, it's hard to hear something when you know the person who's saying it, even if the change in your life is evident. None of the people who heard Peter that day knew the disciples. They did not know them. There's an objectivity that they can look at and then realize, I need to think about this. I had not heard it before. And so, remember, we live in a postmodern world. The main components of postmodernity are this. Independence in postmodernity has taken way too far. Independence and postmodernity says I'm important than you. I'm more important than all of you. I'm more important than the country. I'm more important than society. That's what postmodernity says. You are independent and you are more important than anyone else. Another component of postmodernity is truth. There is no absolute truth. My truth is as good as your truth. If you want to believe that this red piece of fruit that I hold in my hand is an apple, well, you're just wrong because it's a banana. It's a banana. It's a banana. And if I say it long enough and loud enough and often enough, you'll say it's a banana. Dictators learn that. That's how dictators become dictators. They teach people to listen to what they say and to follow what they want. Peter spoke truth. Real truth. It was confirmed and verified by a large number of witnesses. Somebody down there might have said, oh, no, no, no. You know, they say that he was risen from the dead, but somebody stole. No, we saw him. I saw him. He saw him. She saw him. She saw him. He saw him. He saw him. And at the time, somebody got the hint. And I better not use that trick anymore. It doesn't work. Use real truth. You see, those who observed this were prepped and ready. They had fulfilled that Passover saying, "See you in Jerusalem." What do we learn about the first experience of the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling permanently? Three things. They're pretty quick. First, we need to be bold and decisive about who Jesus is. Not was, is. Jesus is in the present tense. God the Father is in the present tense. The Holy Spirit is in the present tense. God is always in the present tense. What was the name he gave to Moses? He said, "I am." I am who I am. You don't even have to be an English major to know that's in the present tense. He was bold and definitive. He came to earth to save mankind from human sin and all of the destruction and debauchery and disgusting parts of being here on earth. Now, don't get me wrong, I kind of like Earth. But I tell you what, I am absolutely convinced that heaven is not going to have small. Now, I've seen small. I flew into LAX one day from San Francisco, and when I got into the taxi, LAX, by the way, is 4.5 miles from downtown Los Angeles. When I got into the taxi, I could not see the high rises in LA. Because it's small. It wasn't fog. It wasn't a foggy day. Now I'm looking forward to that. Second, anyone can be redeemed from a life of sin and sadness. Remember that. Anyone can be redeemed. The world is full of lies. The world tells us relentlessly. And everywhere we turn tells us lies. There was an interesting article on technology that I read a couple weeks ago. It says, don't blame technology. Don't blame technology. Because technology is an inanimate object. In spite of the fact that you can speak to the phone and Siri speaks back to you, it's not a person. It's an inanimate object. And if you say something to Siri, Siri, boom, 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 boom,
boom.
There he goes. I'm not certain. Somebody else will say, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Did you just have a stroke?" Just felt like saying, "Boom, boom, boom." It's an inanimate object. We should be in control of technology, not technology in control of us. I have to tell you, I worry a little bit about some of you, because when I send a text to you, I get a text back immediately. And I'm going, wow. And then I say, "Nah, they just happen to be there with the phone." But you know something? There are people who won't go anywhere. They don't go to the bathroom without their phone. There are people who, when they're walking across the street, are using their phone. Technology's gotten out of hand. It's up to us to control it. And by the way, when was the last time? I'm sorry, this is going to go a little long. I'm in the spirit right now. When was the last time you saw a movie or a commercial or read a book that talked, other than a Christian book, that talked about sin? No, they talk about a lot of stuff. And they show a lot of skin, but that's not sin. Well, that is sin. But anyway. We really need to reduce our time on social media and eliminate reading and watching that which we know to be wrong. Janet and I once got up and left a church in a sermon.
Well, you remember this, it was in Charlotte.
And I didn't think about this till just now. We got up and we left the sermon because what the guy was speaking was heresy. How come I don't get up and walk out of the movie when what I'm seeing is sin? What's wrong with that? That's just me not listening to the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure we do not let Satan get his foot in the door. Third, let us commit on this Pentecost Sunday that we will all renew our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not for our own benefit, by the way. That's what the Sadducees would do. We're going to renew our relationship with the Holy Spirit for the benefit of the advance of the kingdom that is already here and for the kingdom that is yet to come. Pray about that. Amen.
Amen.